Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, verses 1 to 23, and maybe we'll also do more verses according to see how the time goes. So, verse 1. Yadatamam Mahabhaga Tachikirshitame Vame Brahma Bhavo Lokapala Swarvasame Pikangshina. Translation. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O greatly fortunate Uddhava, you have accurately revealed my desire to withdraw the Yadu dynasty from the earth and return to my own abode in Vaikuntha. Thus Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all other planetary rulers are now praying for me to resume my residence in Vaikuntha. Mukama karati vachala bangalangayate girim yakipantanam bande shi guru tirutaminam. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuramiritam yena tasane shi guru. So what do you remember from Virjan's classes? He's completely dependent on the Lord's mercy. Not philosophical, but he's going to get a lot of philosophy. Lots. Okay, you? Yes? Yeah, Krishna is preparing to leave, and that's why he said they should go to the holy place. Okay, yes? Yes, we belong to that club. We will conquer Maya by eating prasadam. Yes, eating prasadam is the way. Yes. Okay. So on this auspicious day of the disappearance of Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we are going to start the auspicious Uddhava Gita. And I would like to read a letter which I just received by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, 5th August, 1926. And it's a very interesting letter, so I thought I would just read it to you. He's writing to one disciple, the name is not here, but he writes to this disciple, "You have been serving and protecting the Varanasi Math completely on your own, so I understand why your mind has prompted you to write a letter of this nature." I don't know what his letter was, but the reply is quite interesting. So first he starts with a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krame krame pai loka bhava sindhukul. For one only crosses over this ocean of material existence and reaches the shore of transcendental existence by progressing step by step. So his first message is to go step by step. Then he gives a bunch of characteristics which you need. Genuine eagerness to attain the goal, samutkanta. Service to Shri Krishna, Krishna Seva. Service to Shri Krishna's devotees, Karshna Seva. Chanting the holy name, Shri Nam Kirtan. And being bound by the hope that you will be successful on the spiritual path, Asha Bandha, all bring about one's spiritual welfare. If we remain constantly engaged in all varieties of endeavors for the sake of Krishna, we cannot be overpowered by the various allurements of Maya. You should always hear, chant, and read our Gaudiya magazine as well as the books of the Mahajans. In this way, you will never succumb to lethargy in the process of studying and assimilating our Siddhanta. And so this is applicable for us. Don't succumb to lethargy in the process of studying and assimilating. So what I understand what this means is that we may read so much and speak so much, but unless we apply it, then it won't be very useful. So whatever we hear, whatever we read, we need to apply. And especially this Uddhava Gita, especially the beginning, is very much application of how to see Krishna in the world around us, how to remember Krishna, how to search for Krishna within even the elements and in our life. So here he says, you should engage in mutually hearing and speaking Hari Katha with all the devotees there with you. As you progress in bhajan, you'll gradually experience a mood of humility and insignificance within your heart. So the result of our hearing and chanting should be humility and feeling of insignificance. You already know that the most exalted devotee always considers himself to be the lowest of all. Sarottamapnakehina kori mane. Furthermore, aspiring for the spiritual welfare of others leads to progress in our own bhajan. Although service to Krishna, Krishna seva, service to his devotees, and chanting the holy names are three different activities, they all share a common objective. By engaging in Nam Sankirtan, one simultaneously performs service to Krishna and service to his devotees. By serving the Vaishnavas, Nam Kirtan and service to Krishna are performed. And by serving Krishna, Nam Kirtan and service to his devotees are performed. And the evidence is found in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaktitam Yadiyate Tatra Pumana Pavita Sarvechitatsmem Bhagavan Vasudeva Yadoksajome Namasavityate. When situated in the absolutely pure state of existence known as Vasudev, one becomes aware of the all-pervasive existence of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in that state, the Supreme Being is revealed without any covering. I offer myself to that Lord who is beyond ordinary sense perception. You should perceive your former life and the impressions from it as conducive to performing bhajan. So it sounds like this devotee was having problem with his previous life, before he was a devotee. Impressions, sometimes when we chant, and the impressions come to our mind. So here, Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta is telling us how to deal with that, how to deal with it when you start remembering things. It should be conducive to performing bhajan. You should realize the unfavorable conditions of your past are a platform for the manifestation of favorable ones in the present. It is the very calamities that arise in unfavorable conditions that subsequently give birth to favorable conditions for bhajan. So isn't it? That's just what we were hearing in the, chapter 4. It's like the obstacles are like a ladder that will take us back to Godhead. So he's saying the same thing. Now this is very good for our Yudhava Gita. Everything within this visible world is verily an instrument for serving Krishna. But our aversion to seva inverts our intelligence, which consequently engages us in trying to enjoy these things. Only when transcendental knowledge manifests in our hearts and we are finally able to perceive everything in relation to Krishna, will we be safe from the effects of the poisonous fruit of pratishta. Chanchala jivan shota pravahiya kaler sagare toy. So here's something by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The precarious current of your life is relentlessly pouring into the ocean of time. You got that? I'll read it again. The precarious current of your life is relentlessly pouring into the ocean of time. When a person has attained this wisdom, his tendency to serve Srihari will manifest at every step. So that realization that the death is in front of us. When we realize that, then we will really want to serve Krishna. Therefore, it is our duty to accept with a satisfied heart whatever pleases Shri Krishna. If Shri Krishna feels happy by keeping me in a state of aversion to him, even then I shall respectfully accept any suffering I must consequently endure. Then he quotes from Sharanagati. Tovarsheva dukho hoy jato sheyo to paramashuka. All the troubles I may encounter while serving you are factually the cause of great happiness. This is the realization of the Vaishnavas. You should try to follow this. When one's anarthas are purified through service to Krishna, those very conditions become the cause of artha or prayojan, the most desirable permanent welfare. So, isn't that interesting? All your anarthas that are giving you trouble now, when you become purified, these same anarthas become the cause of your most desirable permanent welfare. Let's keep reading. All the anarthas evident in the former way of life of Bilvamangal Thakur, in the philosophical accounts of Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Purdi, in the illogical arguments presented by Prakasananda Saraswati, in the assembly of Mayavadi sannyasis, eventually turned out to be Krishna Seva Maya, full of service to Krishna. So you can figure that out. Therefore, you should not at all worry about former anarthas. If we intensely engage in hearing and chanting, our present anarthas will not become prominent. Our lives will only last a very short time, so until death arrives, you should try to serve Srihari with honesty and sincerity. Following in the footsteps of the great spiritual authorities is the only path that leads to spiritual welfare. You should contemplate the words, Aham Tarishami Durantaparam. So this is a verse which we will hear in by the Avanti Raman in chapter 23 of Uddhava Gita. And this is the verse of the sannyasis are supposed to meditate on. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations by worshipping the lotus feet of Mukunda. Due to the result of our previous karma, sometimes we remain healthy and sometimes we become ill. But the moment we consider ourselves actually healthy, we enter into a state of aversion to Krishna. So if you think you're healthy, you can enter a state of aversion to Krishna, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta says. Okay. As a result, we begin to imagine that Vaishnavas who are more advanced than we are actually inferior to us. On account of this, Krishna keeps us in various states of distress, pain, illness, and disturbance in our life. So now you know why all the troubles are coming. Thereafter, we try to understand the meaning of the verse beginning Tatenu Kampamsi Samikshama No. Whenever a devotee experiences distress, he perceives it as the Lord's mercy upon him. When we become deeply absorbed in subject matters that have no connection to Sri Krishna, then we are plagued by the urge to quarrel with the people of this world. And even when we are constantly busy serving Sri Krishna, the people of this world attack us. It ends like that. That's our message today from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And we'll hear a few more things. This is a letter. Someone just sent it to me on email. Yeah, it's one letter. 5th August, 1926, Sridhar Mayapur. I don't know where it came from, but somebody just sent it to me on the internet this morning, and so when I thought, wow, okay, for class. It's a good letter. And we will be reading from this Uddhava Gita commentary also by Sri Bhaktisiddhanta today. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta will be starting today. Some of it, not every verse, a few of the commentaries. So the first verse, we'll repeat again. O greatly fortunate Uddhava, you have accurately revealed my desire to withdraw the other dynasty from the earth and return to my own abode in Vaikuntha. Thus Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the planetary rulers are now praying for me to resume my residence in Vaikuntha. So as you told me, the demigods are asking him to return. Why? Because they asked him to come, but now his mission is complete. So they're saying, now you can go back. Verse 2, answering the prayer of Lord Brahma, I descended within this world along with my plenary portion, Lord Baladev, and performed various activities on behalf of the demigods. I have now completed my mission here. Verse 3, now due to the Brahmanas' curse, the Yadu dynasty will certainly perish by fighting among themselves. And on the 7th day from today, the ocean will rise up and inundate this city of Dwarka. Purport. In this and the following verses, Lord Krishna indicates to Uddhava that he should immediately fix himself in self-realization by giving up all identification with the material world. Sri Ajiva Goswami has pointed out that the Yadu dynasty was not actually destroyed by Lord Krishna, but merely removed from the vision of the world through the curse of the Brahmanas. Similarly, the Lord's eternal abode, Dwarka, can never be drowned by the ocean. Nevertheless, all external approaches to this transcendental city were covered by the ocean. Thus, the Lord's abode remains inaccessible to foolish persons in Kali Yuga, as will be described later in this canto. So, Prabhupada in his lecture today in the temple was saying that appearance and disappearance is the same. It's actually the same. Because the pure devotee, he's always in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So if sometimes we see him, sometimes we don't. But he is always eternally there with Krishna. So Dwarka is always eternally there. Sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. The outer dynasty is always there with Krishna. And the spiritual Dwarka, sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. So verse 4, O saintly Uddhava, in the near future I will abandon this earth. Then, being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. So, purport, Lord Krishna's plan was to bring Uddhava back to his own eternal abode after a brief delay. Because of Uddhava's extraordinary spiritual qualities, the Lord wanted to engage him in propagating his message among other saintly persons who were not yet advanced to the stage of pure devotional service. So, who can tell me one of Uddhava's extraordinary spiritual qualities? Yes.
Strong desire to know the truth.
Okay. Yes, jigyasava. Yes.
Feeling separation
from Krishna. Yes. Yes.
Strong faith in bhakti.
Strong faith in bhakti. Right. Other qualities. Yes.
Disciple of
Brihaspati. Disciple of Brihaspati. Yes, he was very qualified. What else? What was another qualification of Uddhava? Yes.
His?
Yeah, he looks like Krishna. Yes, in the back.
He got experience of Braj Bhakti.
Yes, he was sent. He was a messenger to the gopis. Yes?
He was a student of the gopis.
First Brihaspati, then the gopis. Yes, and now Krishna. Now Krishna is going to instruct him. So what a he will be such a wonderful messenger, and he already has experience of being a messenger. And now again he's going to carry the message of Uddhava Gita to the people in Bharikasham. Now here it says, the Lord assured Uddhava he would not be bereft of the Lord's association for even a moment. Also, because Uddhava had become a perfect master of his senses, he would never be afflicted by the three modes of material nature. So there's another quality. And this way, before bringing Uddhava back home, back to Godhead, the Lord empowered him to carry out a specific confidential mission. So we'll go to the last paragraph of the purport. Unless the living entity recognizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, he remains a helpless victim in the clutches of Maya, or material illusion. He concocts different solutions to release himself from Maya, but these solutions are themselves creations of Maya and thus cannot possibly release the conditioned soul. In fact, they only intensify his distress. So that's the problem. When we try, it's like you're in a net, and the more you struggle in the net, the more you get entangled in the net. The more you get into the net. If you try to use the same material means, then the net becomes tighter on you. So this is the problem. In the next verse, Lord Krishna specifically warns Uddhava to avoid Kali Yuga and go back home, back to Godhead. Those of us who have already taken birth in Kali Yuga should also heed this advice and immediately take all necessary steps to go back to the Lord's eternal abode for a blissful life of perfect knowledge. Material world is never a happy place, especially during the fearful days of Kali Yuga. Verse 5. So now Krishna is going to start giving instructions to Uddhava, so we should pay attention and hear all these instructions. My dear Uddhava, you should not remain here on the earth once I have abandoned this world. My dear devotee, you are sinless, but in Kali Yuga, the people will be addicted to all types of sinful activities. Therefore, do not stay here. First instruction, do not stay. So at the end of the purport, thus, Lord Krishna advised Uddhava not to remain on the earth in Kali Yuga. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises all living entities they should never remain anywhere within the material universe during any age. Therefore, every living being should take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga to understand the overall useless nature of the material world and surrender himself at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Following in the footsteps of Sri Uddhava, one should surrender to Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. So instruction number one, don't stay. Instruction number two, now we're in verse 6. Now you should completely give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives. Number 3, fix your mind on me. Thus, being always conscious of me, number 4, you should observe all things with equal vision, and number 5, wander throughout the earth. So, be detached, be conscious of me, observe with equal vision, and wander the earth. Now here is a contradiction. He says, don't stay here, and now he says, you should wander the earth. So, it's two different instructions. Don't stay, stay. Don't stay, and you should stay. So he's Krishna is 5. So far, don't stay here. Give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives. Fix your mind on me. Observe all things with equal vision, is 4. And 5, wander throughout the earth. Yeah, and then he will give more instruction. So, interesting. We'll go from paragraph 2. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows on this verse. At the end of his manifest pastimes on the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna thought as follows within his mind. During my pastimes on the earth, I have satisfied the desires of all those devotees who anxiously desire to see me. I have duly married many thousands of queens, headed by Rukmini, whom I personally kidnapped. I have killed innumerable demons in various places and by various means. I have attended meetings, reunions, and ceremonies with many friends, relatives, and well-wishers in cities such as Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, Hastinapur, and Mathila. Thus I have kept constantly busy coming and going in the performance of pastimes. I further arranged to give my personal association to great devotees who are situated below the earthly planet, in order to please my mother Devaki and return her 6 deceased sons who were killed by Kamsa. I descended to the planet Sutala and blessed my great devotee Bali Maharaj. In order to return the dead son of my spiritual master, Sanyapani Muni, I personally went to the court of Ravi Nandana, or Yamaraj. Thus he was able to see me face to face. I even blessed the residents of heaven, such as Mother Aditi and Kashyap Muni, with my personal association when I traveled there to steal the Parijata flower from my wife Satyabhama. And in order to please inhabitants of Mahavishnu's abode, such as Nandu, Sunanda, and Sudarshan, I traveled to Mahavaikuntaloka to recover the deceased children of a frustrated Brahmin. Thus innumerable devotees who ardently desire to see me have received the object of their prayers. Unfortunately, Naranarayana Rishi and the great Paramahansa sages who live with him in Badrikashrama, although most enthusiastic to see me, never had their desire fulfilled. I have been on the earth for 125 years, and the scheduled time is now up. Being busily engaged in my pastimes, I did not have any time to give my blessings to these great sages. Nevertheless, Uddhava is practically the same as me. He is a great devotee and shares my own transcendental opulences. Thus, he is the right person for me to send to Bhadrikashram. I shall give Uddhava complete transcendental knowledge by which one becomes detached from the material world, and he, in turn, can deliver this knowledge, the science of transcending the kingdom of illusion, to the worthy sages of Bhadrikashram. In this way, he can teach them the method of rendering loving devotional service to my lotus feet. Such loving devotional service rendered to me is the most valuable treasure, and by hearing such knowledge, the desires of the great sages, such as Naranarayan, will be completely fulfilled. Those great souls who have surrendered unto me are always equipped with transcendental knowledge and detachment from the material world. Sometimes, being busy in their devotional service, they may appear to forget me. However, a pure devotee who has achieved the platform of love for me will always be protected by such sincere devotion. Even if such a devotee should suddenly give up his life while neglecting to fix his mind intensely on me, such a devotee's loving feelings are so powerful that they afford him all protection. Even if there is a temporary moment of forgetfulness, such devotion will bring the devotee to my lotus feet, which are beyond the vision of ordinary materialistic persons. Uddhava is my pure devotee. Knowledge of me and detachment from this world have again been aroused in him because he can never give up my association. So here in the purport, he goes on to mention, at the present time, thousands of devotees in the Krishna conscious movement in all parts of the world are working long hours under difficult conditions to distribute transcendental literature and thus enlighten the general populace. So it's happening. We're in the marathon right now. And everybody's doing book distribution. In this effort, the devotees have no personal motivation, but are simply desirous of pleasing their spiritual master by distributing his books. People who receive this literature usually have no previous experience of Krishna consciousness, yet they are so impressed by the purity of the devotees they meet, they eagerly purchase the books and magazines. In order to execute the tremendous task of spreading Krishna consciousness, devotees are tirelessly laboring day and night because they are on the platform of loving devotion. So actually, my god sister Radha Kund, she's out there doing book distribution, and she has cancer at the same time. And I said to her, "So what are you doing?" She says, "This is my therapy, selling books." And she had an operation last year, a year before. An astrologer said, "You should not live up through this December." So, but she's out there, and you know what to do. She's doing her therapy. And this other lady, I found out how she left, that other Hari Priya who just left I think a week or so ago. She was this old lady who was out in front with her walker distributing books. And Radha Kund told me how she left, that she finished her book distribution for that day, and it was in the morning. Then she went home. And that usually she lives at this Dunuka ashram, and she has this walker, but she won't allow anyone to help her. She had to carry water up the stairs. She wouldn't allow anyone to help her do that, or in any way. But that day, this day, she asked someone to help her up the stairs because she was feeling dizzy. They helped her up. She sat down in her chair. She started chanting Gayatri, and she left. Chanting Gayatri. So this is... This is what is exactly what's happening here. We have these devotees right here and all over the world. Yes.
Just feel that fixed in the mind of mind and the Krishna, then the left the body.
Yeah, and here it says the next sentence. Although superficially such busy devotees may occasionally not think directly of the lotus feet of Krishna, such loving devotion will undoubtedly take them back to Krishna's lotus feet. And being pleased by their service, the Lord Himself will again arouse their unflinching meditation upon His beautiful personal form. This is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga, which depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the all-merciful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is the only totally safe means of uprooting the deep desires for material enjoyment, attaining pure love for Krishna, and going beyond the material universe to the kingdom of God. So our theme today is going beyond this universe to the spiritual world, it seems. Every day some kind of theme comes up. So let's look at what Jiva Goswami says. Because the Lord Himself thus described Uddhava, this is from Bhaktisandarbha, as a perfect liberated soul, the Lord's giving instruction to Uddhava is not meant for Uddhava, but for others. In this way, the verse should be understood to be addressed to others. Speaking in an oblique way, the Lord's intention here, so this is for this instruction about wandering all over the earth. This is Jiva Goswami's comment on that instruction. Following your path, the devotees should wander over the earth. And here the word samadrik, being have equal vision, means being neither repelled nor enamored by those things that have no relationship with Krishna. Two, the word two emphasizes, one should renounce those things that have no relation to the Lord. That is what the Lord intended to say. So some explanation of his instructions. And a very nice comment also by Satyaraj Prabhu in his book, the Krishna's Other Song. He said that he got interested in this contradiction that Krishna says, you should stay, and then don't stay, and then he says you should stay. So here he says, Krishna tells Uddhava to leave, but then to stay. And then his comment was, whether one goes or stays, both are the same for a devotee. Jivova Marova. I thought that was a nice comment, that whether you go or you stay, it's actually the same. For Uddhava, it's the same, whether he goes or he stays. Of course, for him, if he stays, then he's going to feel a lot of separation. So in that sense, it's not the same. But for a devotee, it's the same. Now, verse 11, we'll get some more instructions. This is instruction number 6. My dear Uddhava, the material universe that you perceive through your mind, speech, eyes, ears, and other senses is an illusory creation that one imagines to be real due to the influence of Maya. In fact, you should know that all of the objects of the material senses are temporary. So, second instruction to how to see the material world, that is... Verse 7, that this material universe that you perceive is an illusory creation is because it's temporary. So purport, first paragraph, the question may be raised, since we find good and bad qualities throughout the material world, how can the Lord Krishna advise Uddhava to see everything equally? In this verse, Krishna explains that material good and evil are creation of the illusory energy, just as the objects of a dream are a mental creation. So he's saying this good and evil, you see it, this is good, this is bad, that's an illusion. That you see something is good and something is bad. That's the illusion. And don't see good and bad. See equally. See equally that, yes, it's temporary. So then paragraph 3, about 6 lines down. One who is entangled in the network of material designations like race, nationality, sectarian religion, political affiliation is absorbed in the experience of combining his body and other bodies with material sense objects, thinking these sense objects to be sources of happiness and satisfaction. Unfortunately, the entire material world, along with the senses that experience it, is a temporary creation that will be annihilated by the time potency of the Supreme Lord. Despite our foolish hopes and dreams, there is no actual happiness on the material platform. So that this is the second delusion, that there is happiness on the material world. The real truth is not material, nor it is temporary. The real truth is Atma, soul, and among all eternal souls, one is supreme, and that is Krishna. And if you don't see Krishna, you are on the platform of mental concoction. So verse 8. One whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion perceives many differences in value and meaning among material objects. Thus one engages constantly in the platform of material good and evil and is bound by such conceptions. Absorbed in material duality, such a person contemplates the performance of compulsory duties, non-performance of such duties, and performance of forbidden activities. So that's just what we heard, karma, akarma, vikarma. When you're on the material, when you see, when you're on the material level, material duality, if you're absorbed, then you see, oh, okay, I should avoid this, I should do this, this is good, this is bad. And that's what the Vedas also. So in the purport, first paragraph, the illusory mental platform, this is an extension of verse 7, is described in this verse. The word ayuktasi indicates the conditioned soul who does not fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then here he says, Krishna is within everything, and everything is within the Lord. Example may be given. When a woman loves a man, she is most eager to see him, and she daily sees him dressed in different clothes. Actually, the woman is interested not in the clothes, but in the man. Similarly, within every material object is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who has developed love of God is constantly seeing the Lord everywhere, not just the artificial, superficial material objects that cover the Lord. So we'll go to that quote. Guna pravaha etasmin ka shapa kon vanupraha ka swarga naraka kova kim sukam dukamevava. This material world resembles the waves of a constantly flowing river. So remember what Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati said, that the current of our life is flowing to the ocean. What was the ocean of? I forgot. The ocean of time, right? Flowing, and so it's like a current. The material world is also like a current that's flowing. Therefore, what is a curse and what is a favor? What are the heavenly planets and what are the hellish planets? What is actually happiness and what is actually distress? Because the waves flow constantly, none of them has an eternal effect. So then we'll go to the end of the purport, the last quote. Paramatmanam evaikam kartaram vetiya puman samuchate smat samsara paramatmanam eticha. On the other hand, the person who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual controller of the material nature, and that it is ultimately he who is moving everything, can free himself from the bondage of material existence. Such a person goes to the abode of the Lord. So this verse Krishna is telling Uddhava, don't be absorbed in duality. You should see, with equal vision, see the oneness, see the Lord within everything. So again, we have a comment here by Satyaraj Prabhu on this verse 8, which I thought was quite interesting and nice. It's helpful to see the oneness of things, since the sense of duality leads to misconception. Yet, spiritual duality is more reality than oneness. So here, because in the material world, it's not good to see duality. You should see the oneness, how Krishna is within everything. But spiritually, we do not accept that it's just oneness. The duality is more reality. The higher reality is the duality than oneness, because it makes possible exchange of love. So instead of seeing the oneness, we see how we are separate from Krishna and we can love him. Because if it's all one, then where's the question of love? I thought that was a really nice comment by him on that verse. So now, and that reminded me of that verse, Abhayam Dutiya Binivesita Syat, that out of fear, then we misidentify with this body. Bhayam Dvitiya, the second, in the material world, you see the second is your body, and then you're in Maya. But in the spiritual world, you see the second is Krishna. So then you're in Krishna consciousness. So there's two concepts of duality, a material duality and a spiritual duality. And so that is, I thought that was an interesting comment on that verse. So verse 7, we're going to get some more instructions here by Krishna to Uddhava. Number 7th instruction, verse 9, we're going to get the 7th instruction. Therefore, bringing all your senses under control and thus subduing the mind, you should see the entire world is situated within the self who is expanded everywhere. So then I counted that as 8. You could count it as 1. I counted it as another one. The vision. You see, control your senses and subdue the mind. And then see the world is situated in the self who is expanded everywhere. And see this individual self within me, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the end of the purport. If one engages the senses in the service of the Personality of Godhead, then one enjoys unlimited pleasure upon seeing the transcendental beauty of the Lord's form. But unless one qualifies himself by pure loving devotion to Krishna, the Lord does not award him this exalted experience. Therefore, every conditioned soul should end his unnecessary separation from the Personality of Godhead by rejoining the Lord's blissful company. Lord Krishna personally comes down to reopen the blind eyes of the conditioned souls. Thus the Lord is personally teaching Uddhava so that sincere souls in the future might take advantage of his instructions. Indeed, hundreds and millions of people even now derive spiritual enlightenment from Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. And we are one of those hundreds and millions of souls. So now in verse 10, we get the result. If you follow these instructions which I have given you, now these are the results that you can expect if you follow these instructions. 1. Being fully endowed with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas, so you will get the conclusion of the Vedas, having realized the ultimate purpose of such knowledge and practice. So Gyan Vigyan you'll get. 2. You'll be able to perceive the pure self, and that's the third thing. So you'll get Gyan, you'll get Vigyan, and you'll get perception of the self. Thus, your mind will be satisfied. You'll get satisfaction. At that time, you'll become dear to all living beings headed by the demigods. So that's another result. You'll become dear to everyone. And you'll never be hampered by any disturbance in life. So that's another result. These are all results. Verse 10. If you follow these instructions of Krishna to Uddhava, which are also for us, you will get these results. So try it. Just try. Stay and go. Don't stay and wander the earth. In other words, preach. So the purport is explained in Bhagavad Gita. One whose mind is free from material desire becomes disinterested in demigod worship, since the purpose of such worship is material amelioration. That means you get something back. The demigods, however, are never displeased with one who becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and offers all of his worship to the Lord. The demigods themselves are humble servants of Lord Krishna, as was amply demonstrated in Lord Krishna's pastimes on the earth. One who can experience the eternal soul within everyone's body certainly becomes dear to all living beings, since he sees everyone as qualitatively equal to himself. He does not envy anyone nor try to lord it over any other living being. Being free from envy and well-wisher of all, such a self-realized soul is naturally dear to everyone. Stated in this song to the six Goswamis. Dira tira jana piya piya kara nirma sarapuchita. Another comment by Satyaraj, Krishna's other song. So he asked the question, why does somebody become dear to everyone? Because he's happy. Everybody likes to be around someone who's happy. You don't like to be around someone who's always depressed and disturbed. They'll tell you all your other problems every day. And you just look at their face, you think, uh-oh, no, they're going to tell me again. So he's dear because he's happy and he exudes loving kindness attractive to all living entities. So I brought something from his book. It's a quote from Bhagavatam 4.9.46 about Dhruva Maharaj. Suruchi, the younger mother of Dhruva, seeing the innocent boy had fallen at her feet, immediately picked him up, embracing him with her hands, and with tears of feeling, she blessed him with the words, "My dear boy, long may you live." Then the next verse. Unto one who has transcendental qualities due to friendly behavior with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities offer honor, just as water automatically flows down by nature. That's also verse 47. So that was Dhruva. And then in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, well, why did Saruchi, who was not nice to Dhruva in the beginning, why did she bless him? Long may you live. She also desired good fortune. So the answer is given, because Dhruva was blessed by the Lord, so everyone became his friend. Here it says, Prabhupada says, everyone was bound to offer him all respects and benediction, just as water by its nature flows downward. A devotee of the Lord does not demand respect from anyone, but wherever he goes, he's honored by everyone throughout the whole world with all respect. So then Satyaraj himself makes a really nice comment. All creatures, whether spiritually advanced or not, can sense saintliness when confronted with it. That was an interesting quote. I just remembered that story of Rasikananda and the mad elephant. And this elephant was coming to attack, and he was killing so many people. Then when he came up to Rasikananda, then he stopped. And then he bowed down to Rasikananda, and Rasikananda gave him initiation, gave him Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The elephant became a devotee, and he was trying to serve. He was bringing grains from the forest and bringing it to the Vaishnavas, who was bringing things, carrying things for them, and bringing, if they were living in the forest, he would bring them grains and stuff. So these are the examples. So let's hear what Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. He has a comment that I liked from this verse. Verse 19. Is this? Lord Krishna instructs. Oh, no, sorry. Verse 10. Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. Due to lack of knowledge regarding Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vijayanandana, who is one without a second, the impersonalist cannot understand that both the object of worship and the worshippers are situated in the eternal spiritual kingdom. So he brings up the spiritual duality. But because the eternal devotees of Krishna who accept the personal form of the Lord and who are expert in seeing spiritual variegatedness are blissful due to realizing their service to Krishna, they become liberated from conception of seeing the difference between the body and owner of the body. So this is, the impersonalists are very proud to know, I am not this body. But a devotee, just by serving Krishna and seeing spiritual variegatedness, he forgets, I am not this body. He doesn't see the difference. In fact, it all becomes Brahman. He's the real Brahman, Brahmavadi, actually. He sees everything as in relation to Krishna. In such a state, the insignificance of the four objectives of life is exposed. Those who are devoid of love for Hari and who glorify the concept of impersonalism, which is a snare of Hari's illusory energy Maya, face an impediment in their path of self-realization. As a result, they bring about their own ruination, as did Kamsa, Jarasandha, and so on. Then the last one is very important, his last sentence. Theoretical knowledge can be purified when it is practically applied. So if you want to purify your theoretical knowledge, then you have to practically apply it. So if you have some impersonal tendency, then just practically apply that you're not this body. Do the application of it. How are you not this body? Okay, verse 11. One who has transcended material good and evil automatically acts in accordance with religious injunctions and avoids forbidden activities. The self-realized person does this spontaneously, like an innocent child, and not because he's thinking in terms of material good and evil. So no worries about following the Vedic injunctions. Because when you become Krishna conscious, then naturally you avoid the evil and you go for the good. Verse 12. One who is the kind well-wisher of all living beings, who is peaceful and firmly fixed in knowledge and realization, sees me within all things. Such a person never again falls down into the cycle of birth and death. So now again we have a comment by Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, verse 12. Self-realized souls see all objects of this world to be related to Krishna. They never fall into material existence on account of their spirit of enjoyment. They make friendship with all living entities, knowing them to be the ingredients for Krishna's worship. They are naturally peaceful and undisturbed because of their expertise in the field of knowledge and its practical application. No mundane temptation can distract their mind from the lotus feet of Krishna. Those who fail to see this world as a house of happiness because of their unsuccessful attempt to enjoy this world engage in fruitive activities to achieve material enjoyment. When they become disgusted with material enjoyment, they want to temporarily renounce such enjoyment. That is why Sri Gaurasundara is instructed about Fauga Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya, which are confidential purports of Srimad Bhagavatam meant for the understanding of fortunate living entities. Confidential purports of Srimad Bhagavatam are what? Yukta Vairagya and Fauga Vairagya. Confidential purports for fortunate living entities. So that means application of your renunciation. How to apply renunciation? Yukta Vairagya. Verse 13, Sri Shukadev Goswami said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, thus instructed his pure devotee Uddhava, who was eager to receive knowledge from the Lord. Uddhava then offered obeisances to the Lord and spoke as follows. Sri Uddhava said, verse 14, My dear Lord, you alone award the results of yoga practice, and you are so kind that by your own influence you distribute the perfection of yoga to your devotee. Thus you are the Supreme Soul who is realized through yoga, and it is you who are the origin of all mystic powers. For my supreme benefit, you have explained the procedure for giving up material world through the process of sannyas, our renunciation. So we'll go to paragraph 2 of the purport. In the material world, we falsely try to link ourselves with the objects of the senses. Man wants to link with woman with man. One tries to link up with nationalism, socialism, capitalism, or innumerable other creations of the material energy of the Lord. Is that material? Illusory. Since we are linking ourselves to temporary objects, the relationships are temporary, the results are temporary. At the time of death, we become bewildered when all our connections are suddenly cut off by Maya. If we link ourselves to Krishna, however, our relationship with him will continue even after death. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, relationship with Krishna that we develop in this life will continue to increase in our next life until we achieve the supreme goal of entering Krishna's planet. Those who sincerely serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the transcendental lifestyle prescribed by the Lord, will enter the Lord's abode at the end of this lifetime. So that is our theme for today, going back to Godhead. And this is a summary of Uddhava Gita, this verse. According to Satyaraj, Krishna is the supreme. He's the goal of religion. He's the source of all energies. Yet, he's a person standing before Uddhava to give knowledge. So very nice. This verse, he calls a summary of the Uddhava Gita, verse 14. Now, again, we'll hear from Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in this verse. Ooh. Verse what? Verse 14 is a summary, according to Satyaraj, yes. Summary of Uddhava Gita, because it talks about Krishna. Well, Uddhava talks, you are the one who gives the results, you are distributing the perfection of yoga, you are the supreme soul realized through yoga, and you are the origin of all mystic power. Yes. So this is the summary Uddhava is giving it to us before he hears it himself. Devotees often do that. So in Uddhava Gita, this commentary of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta, I'm reading the second and third paragraph. Verse 14. Materialists are attached to hearing and chanting the topics of their wife and children. Did you notice that? Learned scholars are attached to hearing and chanting the topics of scriptural debates. So here he goes down the line. Yogis are attached to the distress produced from controlling their life air. Yogis, they like the austerity. They like the misery they get from controlling their, because they want to be the controller. Ascetics are attached to their performance of austerities. And pseudo-renunciates are attached to the cultivation of dry speculative knowledge. But servants of Sri Chaitanya are always fixed in the path of bhakti yoga. Because devotees of the Lord have adopted the process of devotional service, which is inclusive of detachment, giving up the other inferior attachments, they are real renunciates or yukta vairagis. That is why the Supreme Lord is addressed here as Yogesha. Because the servants of Yogeshwara, like Uddhava, dovetail all other yoga processes in the execution of bhakti yoga, the Lord is addressed here as Yoga Vinyasa. Because the constitutional propensities of living entities clearly manifest in the practice of bhakti yoga, the Lord is called Yogatma. In addition, because he's the source of all types of yoga, he's referred to as Yoga Sambhava. So he's telling the meanings of all these different Sanskrit words here. Only persons who are situated in devotional service achieve the supreme benefit of life, thus are able to properly give up all non-devotional propensities. That is the most beneficial thing that can happen to a spirit soul. Sri Krishna had mercifully taught this Paramahansa Dharma in the form of Bhakti Yoga to Uddhava. Verse 15, My dear Lord, O Supreme Soul, for those whose minds are attached to sense gratification, and especially for those bereft of devotion unto you, such renunciation of material enjoyment is most difficult to perform. That is my opinion. So Krishna has instructed him in sannyas. Uddhava is thinking, this is too difficult. Next verse 16, O my Lord, I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations, which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. Thus I am thinking, I am this body, and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. So he's given, Krishna has given the instructions, but Uddhava is saying, but how? How do I do this now? You told me, see equally, do this, see you everywhere. How to do this? Give up my relatives and friends. And so this is the fundamental illusion that I am this body. And he says, please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. So we all want an easy way out, and Uddhava included. And so that is, and what is that? We do have an easy path, and that's the path of Srila Prabhupada. He has made it easy for the Kali Yuga inhabitants of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada has given the easy path. Chant, dance, and eat prasadam. And that is the Kevala Ananda Kanda. So look at the purport about four lines down. We practically see that many sinful persons enter the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and after preliminary purification become most repentant for their previous illicit activities. They are shocked when they realize how they gave up the personal association of God to pursue the useless forms created by Maya. Therefore, they wholeheartedly pray to the spiritual master and Lord Krishna to be engaged eternally in transcendental devotional service. Such a repentant, eager mentality is most auspicious for spiritual advancement. The Lord certainly answers the prayers of a repentant devotee desperate to escape the clutches of illusion. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says a very interesting comment again on this verse 16. He talks about namaparad. Isn't that interesting? So what is this namaparad that has to do with this verse? Those who are attacked by namaparad in the form of maintaining the conception of I and mine pollute their real ego due to the influence of the illusory energy of the Lord of Vaikuntha. At that time, they display no power to follow the instruction of the Supreme Lord because due to lack of surrender, the living entities become bewildered by false ego. Due to the influence of false ego, the living entity become averse to the Lord and then bound by the ropes of Maya. So he tells the process of fall down. On that platform, the constitutional position of living entities becomes covered. In other words, their inclination towards the Lord's service slows down considerably. So if we do this namaparad of I and mine, maintaining this material conception, then it's very detrimental. That is why Uddhava is praying to Krishna to remain situated in the service propensity without deviation. Verse 17, My dear Lord, you are the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead, and you reveal yourself to your devotees. Besides your lordship, I do not see anyone who can actually explain perfect knowledge to me. Such a perfect teacher is not to be found even among the demigods in heaven. Indeed, all of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are bewildered by your illusory potency. They are conditioned souls who accept their own material bodies and bodily expansions to be the highest truth. So So demigods cannot give this knowledge that Krishna is going to give, because they also fall into illusion like we do. Beginning of Bhagavatam, it says, Muyanti yat surya. And we saw just in our chapters last week that Indra fell into illusion with Naranarayana Rishi. He thought, he's trying to get my position. So he sent beautiful women, but he didn't realize that he had even better women than Indra had. So, in the third paragraph of the purport, it says, because the demigods are attached to ruling the created universe, their devotion to God is tinged with material desires. They are therefore attracted to those portions of Vedic knowledge that award the various material appliances necessary for perpetuating their celestial life. So they want to keep themselves in heaven, so they perform the Vedic sacrifices. Sri Uddhava, however, being a pure devotee of the Lord, is determined to go back to Godhead for eternal life, and is thus not at all interested in sophisticated Vedic knowledge of the demigods. So then he talks how this world is a prison, and everyone has birth, death, old age, illusion, disease. Pure devotee has no desire to remain here even as a first-class prisoner, like the demigods. So again, the same message, go back to Godhead. Verse 18, therefore, O Lord, feeling weary of material life and tormented by its distresses, I now surrender unto you, because you are the perfect master. You are the unlimited, all-knowing, supreme personality of Godhead, whose spiritual abode in Vaikuntha is free from all disturbances. In fact, you are known as Narayan, the true friend of all living beings. So Uddhava is taking the position of a conditioned soul, as we already heard, the Jiva Goswami, that he's just like Arjuna. He's saying, now I'm bewildered, you please instruct me. Just like Bhagavad Gita, there are similarities. And here is one of them, that he's surrendering to Krishna, accepting Krishna as his spiritual master. So in the purport, paragraph 2, we may faithfully serve a master, father, or demigod, but when it is time for us to receive a reward for faithful service, the master may die. Therefore, Lord Krishna is here described as Anantaparam, which indicates he is not limited by time or space. The word Anta indicates the termination of time, and Para indicates a spatial termination. So Anta is for time, and Para means space. Therefore, Anantapara means Lord Krishna is not limited by time or space, thus will always dutifully reward his faithful servants. So even now he can hear us if we pray, and he will accept our offerings. Lord Krishna is always there. We don't have to worry about him dying or leaving. He will always be there for us. If we serve, now here's one reason why we should serve Krishna, that he's not limited by time or space. Second reason, paragraph 3, if we serve someone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our so-called master may forget our service or become ungrateful. So here's another reason why we should serve Krishna. Therefore, Lord Krishna is described here as Sarvagyam, omniscient. He can never forget the service of his devotee, therefore he is never ungrateful. In fact, it is said Lord Krishna does not remember the faults of his devotees, but only the sincere service they have rendered. Next paragraph, a further disadvantage in serving anyone besides Krishna is when we are in danger, our master may not be able to protect us. If we take shelter of our nation, the nation may be destroyed in war. If we take shelter of our family, they may also die, fallible soldiers. As described in Vedic literature, even the demigods are sometimes defeated by the demons. But since Lord Krishna is described here as Ishvara, supreme controller, there is no danger of his being overcome or even impeded by any other power. Thus, Lord Krishna's promise of protection to his devotee is eternally valid. So these are all good reasons why to serve Krishna. Then next one, if we do not serve the personality of God, we will not know the ultimate result of our service. But here Lord Krishna is described as Akunta Vikunta Nishnyam. Lord Krishna has an eternal abode called Vaikuntha, and that abode is never disturbed by anything. The faithful servants of Lord Krishna will certainly go back to Godhead, back home, for eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the personal abode of the Lord. So that is our theme for today, going back to Godhead. Verse 19, the Supreme Lord replied, generally, those human beings who can expertly analyze the actual situation of the material world are able to raise themselves beyond the inauspicious life of gross material gratification. So in the second paragraph of the purport, according to Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura, Lord Krishna considered Uddhava to be more intelligent than even the demigods in heaven. Uddhava, however, was feeling discouraged, thinking himself unqualified to render devotional service to the Lord. But Uddhava was actually perfectly situated because he had achieved Lord Krishna as his personal spiritual master. Similarly, members of the Krishna conscious movement are guided by instructions of society's founder Acharya, Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivijakacharya, Stota Satashishi Madesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. Therefore, a sincere member of this movement should never feel discouraged, but should rather count his blessings and do the needful to go back home, back to Godhead. So what then he talks a little bit about this world. Certain activities are auspicious, other inauspicious. Even one who has not received the complete mercy of the bona fide Krishna conscious spiritual master should conclude by sharp intelligence there is no happiness in ordinary material life and that real self-interest lies beyond the material platform. And Madhvacharya, Srila Madhvacharya makes a very important comment. He points out even if one is expert not only in material knowledge but also in spiritual knowledge, one will enter into the darkness of ignorance if one neglects association of the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, one should not misinterpret this verse in a way that minimizes the significance of the pure devotee spiritual master. Okay, verse 20. An intelligent person, expert in perceiving the world around him and applying sound logic, can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. For sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. So this is Uddhava speaking still? This is Krishna. Krishna is replying, huh? Yes, Śrī Bhagavān Uvāca. So he's replying to Uddhava. So this is introduction to the 24 gurus. Sometimes your intelligence can be your guru. And we'll go to the end of the purport. The symptom of an enlightened servant of Krishna is that he is eager for the company of other such great souls. Thus, by one's sensitive and rational observation of this material world, one should come to appreciate the value of spiritual life in association of the devotees. So this will help our vision immensely by associating with devotees. Verse 21. In the human form of life, those who are self-controlled and expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya can directly see me along with all of my potencies. So we'll go to the last two paragraphs of the purport. A spiritual master becomes bona fide by his full surrender to his spiritual master. But as explained in this chapter, one may also act as his own guru. This means an intelligent and perceptive person can understand the nature of this world and his own limitations. Such a person then becomes very much inclined to associate with the pure devotees of the Lord and to receive the mercy of those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. So this is the result of observing the world with your intelligence is that you will become more desirable, more desirous of associating with devotees and get the mercy of the advanced devotees. According to Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura, Sankhya Yoga as described here refers to the rigorous intellectual progress of the Jnana Yoga system along with the devotion of Bhakti Yoga. So this is like Kapila Dev, which emphasizes the mercy of the lotus feet of the pure devotees. Actually, Jnana Yoga is a factor in the Bhakti Yoga system since Krishna is Jnanagamya, or the goal of all knowledge. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita that he personally enlightens a sincere devotee with all knowledge. In this chapter, Lord Krishna is training Uddhava to see the Lord's personal form in the course of his daily experiences in the material world. So now we know what to expect. When you hear about these different gurus, it's a way to see Krishna in this world. The Lord has already indicated to Uddhava he will travel throughout the world in samadhi or trance. And now Lord Krishna is preparing Uddhava to travel as a true sannyasi, seeing the personality of Godhead everywhere. So how is he going to, what is the preparation? He will hear about the 24 gurus. That will prepare him to travel the world. That will be the first. Of course, he will hear the whole Uddhava Gita, which is quite intense and quite extensive. So verse 22, in this world, there are many kinds of created bodies, some with one leg, others with two, three, four, or more legs, and still others with no legs. But of all of these, the human form is actually dear to me. 23. Although I, the Supreme Lord, can never be captured by ordinary sense perception, those situated in human life may use their intelligence and other faculties of perception to directly search for me through both apparent and indirectly ascertained symptoms. So that means you have to use your intelligence and your eyes, your ears, your nose, your everything to search for Krishna. So in the purport, paragraph 2, the words griha manaya gunai indicate the rational and intellectual faculties of the human brain. All of these can be used to directly and indirectly perceive the personality of Godhead. Indirectly, one may experience the Lord through his creation. So this is what we're going to be hearing about, how to indirectly experience Krishna in this world. Since we are experiencing this world through our intelligence and senses, we may conclude that our own intelligence must have a creator, and that creator is therefore supremely intelligent. Thus, through simple logic, any sane person can understand there is a supreme personality of Godhead who is controlling everything. So that's indirect. Now direct, one may also directly perceive the Lord through chanting and hearing his holy names and glories. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu means one should always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. One who perfectly hears and chants will undoubtedly see the Lord face to face. The Krishna is all-pervading and one should search for him everywhere. But the transcendental sense is purified by bhakti yoga. One may directly perceive the supreme personality of Godhead. As indicated by the word adha in this verse, this perception is direct and not imaginary. So Krishna is instructing Uddhava to search for him in this world, and he'll tell him how to do it as well. Give him some examples. 24. So what's a very similar verse to you should search for me in the Chatushloki. Etavad eva jigyasyam tat jigyasanatmana. Anvaya vyatare kavyam yatsyat sarvacha sarvada. That is a 36, 2936. Very similar. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So Prabhupada has a very, I'll just read the beginning of his purport, it's quite nice, one paragraph. To unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. So what is the goal of all inquiries? Krishna. Search after Krishna. How to see Krishna in this world and become advanced. So in the next class after the break, we will hear some examples of the 24 gurus. Before that, does anybody have any questions or comments on these verses? Yes.
It's interesting that Krishna starts it with this very powerful dose of inducing Uddhava to see him everywhere.
Yes.
That's how he also ends the Uddhava Gita.
Yeah, he starts it like that. Now you should see me everywhere, and then he ends, you should see me everywhere. It's a very...
The Prema Vision.
Yes, the Prema Vision. Yes. 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 Yeah, interesting. Yes. There is a verse in the third canto which says that the Krishna is so beautiful that even Narayan wants to see him. Even Narayan is eager to see the form of Krishna. And Mahavishnu is very eager to see the form of Krishna. So Narayan, yes, they all wanted to see, but they didn't get that association. So Krishna is sending his representative, who even looks like him. And they will get, it will be just like getting it directly from Krishna. If Uddhava is practically non-different and in vision, in sight, and in the words. Yes, Lilashika?
Yeah. You said that one of the main things here, going back to Gotha, that I see also another thing.
Okay.
Buddha is asked, is receiving this instruction, and the question is how to apply it.
Right.
Because also the point in the letter of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati
Maharaj,
yes, that we have to apply.
Yes, we have to apply.
And Buddha says it's difficult.
It's difficult, yes.
In an easy way.
Yeah.
But you see the Buddhists many times, they have the same problem.
They cannot apply.
Krishna, he makes arrangements of you come to that point. I got a letter this morning from Lakshmi Moni.
Oh, really?
He writes, your prayers are most valuable to me. I greatly appreciate them. This material life is like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. Often we forget that when Krishna brings it to the forefront of the consciousness, it is a startling realization, although we've heard it so many times. By the prayers and grace of the devotees, I'm well and I'm recovering nicely.
Yes, Lakshmi Moni had a stroke, and then and just before the stroke, she was on Skype with Prashanta. Prashanta didn't know. She was asking, "You're coming here?" And Lakshmi Moni said, "Well, it depends on my operation." And what operation? Well, you know, I just had a stroke, and there she was in the hospital with her computer on Skype. You know, she was able to go on Skype, and then had her operation, and then I got a phone call that the day after her operation, she was in the temple at Guru Puja in class.
She was what?
She went to Guru Puja in class the next day after her operation. She was at the temple. Yeah. Anyway, you can't stop devotees somehow. You can't hit it. Yeah. Yes, Vanamali, you had something?
This reminds me of this
sloka Stavara Jangam Deke na Deke Taramurti. Nija Ishta Deva Svati. He sees the pure devotee does not see the forms, but he sees his Ishta Dev. He sees Krishna everywhere. Sarvabhauma?
One small detail from you just mentioned one legged animal. I know it's a ghost, but I don't know why.
Why is the ghost a one legged animal?
One leg.
Yes.
One leg.
One leg. Okay, yes.
My speculation is that they don't have to move their legs to move. So it is like flies.
Yeah, they don't have two legs. They have one, yeah. It's just. You've never seen a ghost, have you?
Well, I did, but it didn't have one leg. You know?
It's not like a leg. It's just all one together. No, the tree is something else. They may go in the tree, but if they're without the tree body, then they just they.
You're saying the tree also has one leg.
Well, yeah.
I mean, tree has one leg. One leg
beings. One leg beings. Oh, yeah, it could be the tree referred to in the purport, too, yeah. But many feet. The tree may have one, anyway. Yeah, the roots. Prabhupada says the roots are his feet. He drinks through the feet.
Which verse?
22. Another, any questions, comments? Yes.
There is a very strong emphasis on jnana and vairagya here.
Yes.
Which technically belongs to Sangha Siddha
Bhakti. What is it?
Sangha
Siddha Bhakti. Okay.
So
Gyan Vairagya.
We always glorify Sarupa Siddha Bhakti,
direct Sharan Kirtan.
But here we see there is such a powerful emphasis, the whole Bhagavad Gita, on Sangha Siddha Bhakti.
Right.
Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, we have an emphasis on Arupa Siddha Bhakti. So, my question is, does it mean that we should not shy away from this? That even though it's Arupa or Sangha, it is still bhakti, and it's a valuable part of our practice? Or Krishna has some other purpose, and he spends the whole 11th canto on something that we actually do not take as our first choice in practice?
Okay, so it's a complicated question. Gita is Arupa Siddha Bhakti, That's Bhagavad Gita. Uddhava Gita. Emphasis is there. Emphasis on Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Actually, we want Sarupa Siddha Bhakti. So why is he telling all these things?
Is it a necessary thing? Yeah,
or is it? Well, what I would say is that you have to look for the hidden message between the lines. As in Gita, like Uddhava, when he went with his message to the gopis, he said, you know, I'm in the elements, and you know, so you have to look for the hidden message, even in this Uddhava Gita. And of course, I mean, the highest is there in the middle, like near the beginning.
Layered cake.
Yes, it's there. And the highest goes through all through the thing, just like Prabhupada. If you read Bhagavad Gita, right from the second chapter purport, you're going to get the essence. Surrender to me, engage in devotional service. So here we also have the same thing. So we have to look for it. We have to search. In fact, the beginning, he says, you search for me in this world. So in the same way, sometimes we'll be hearing Varnashram, sometimes we'll be hearing mystic yoga process, sometimes we're going to be hearing about Gyan. So when we hear these different things, the theme actually is what he's saying here in the beginning, search for me. Search for me in these things. That is the essential. When we go through all of the Uddhava Gita, we keep these first instructions in mind. That you have to see me. Somehow you have to see me in everything and everything in me. So that's why it's the beginning and it's at the end. That we have to see Krishna in the whole Uddhava Gita. And Krishna's speaking it as well. He's the speaker. So in Bhagavad Gita, yes, we see Krishna. And Prabhupada made it easy for us to see Krishna from beginning to end. So now these purports we're hearing a lot from the Acharyas. So it might be a little bit more difficult for us to see Krishna. But it's there. We will see Krishna. In the 24 gurus, we will see Krishna everywhere. And that's why he tells in the beginning, okay, this is the objective. This is what's going to happen to you. So then we have to keep that in mind when we hear everything. Okay, am I, just like when we went to the retreat, they said, okay, make your sankalpa. Now every day you review, okay, how am I doing with my sankalpa? Am I actually fulfilling that? So now we have our sankalpa, we have our objective in the beginning here. Okay, the result should be this. So am I fulfilling that objective by hearing Uddhava Gita? And where, if I'm not, then where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna? Yes?
For service of Krishna. So
yes.
They are using the process of the other system, knowledge, mm-hmm. knowledge also
yeah.
is connected to Krishna.
Yeah.
He's using the service.
Yes, so we have to connect our intelligence, we have to connect the process of jnana, yoga, and it's quite interesting. It's like at the end especially, it's like the second last chapter, very heavy jnana, and the commentators are saying, yes, this is for you know, the impersonalists, but actually there's another message here for the devotees. And that just came to my mind. Yes, it appears like there's so much jnana, but actually what's happening is Krishna is covering the essential truth from the non-devotees. They won't understand. If they read this, they will get a different idea. If they read, they will see, yes, we should renounce, we should do this, we should that. But for the devotees, they'll get a different message. Message will be different. So that's why at the end, I believe the comment, Vishwanath, one of them says, in this way, Krishna has covered. He has covered the message from the impersonalists. They won't be able to understand. It'll be beyond them. Yeah?
So this jnana and vairagya for a devotee would be a concomitant
result. Yeah.
So could they be used as a criteria to judge our progress?
Can jnana and vairagya be used as a criterion to judge our progress
in bhakti?
As byproducts of bhakti. You have to look at the symptoms of bhava. I think that would be the best. That would be the best way to judge your advancement in bhakti, because it's knowledge. You know, as Prabhupada says so many times, the gopis were not jnanis. They didn't have they didn't have jnana. I mean, they had jnana, of course, but it wasn't like what you think, this type of jnana. I would say those nine symptoms, reserved and perseverant, and desire, attraction for chanting holy name, Namaruchi, and these things. Humility, and then another, that's one way. Another way is the humility. That's the standard for how to judge your prema, how to judge how much love you have for Krishna is the dānya. The humility is the measuring rod of prema. That's another one, another way. And the more humility, then the more you have realized yourself and Krishna. The more that's there. And then, if you want to get okay, bhava, then you, that's another. And before that, you can see from humility. Someone may be very renounced and very full of knowledge, but if he may not be humble, he may not. He may be very proud of his knowledge and renunciation. Yes, I'm very renounced, and I have so much knowledge. And
it's not a renunciation.
No.
Virakti,
yeah. Humility is there also, so that we've been given, Srila Goswami has given us the standard, Lord Chaitanya has given the standard of dānya, that is the standard for measuring. Yes,
yeah, in sense gratification,
right,
objects of the world.
Exactly, yeah, it comes naturally.
It will definitely be a symptom of someone.
Yeah, it will be a symptom. It will be a symptom. Realization, yeah.
You know, the deep sense of jnana.
Deep realization is real jnana.
Vigyan.
So they are symptoms. They are symptoms.
And also the fact that pure devotees know.
Right. How to act for Krishna. Yes, jnana vairagya. In relation to Krishna, yes, it's definitely. He said, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta said, the confidential purport of Śrīmad Bhāgavatam is yukta vairagya. Vairagya.
Good person, naturally.
Yeah, it says they naturally, like an innocent child.
It naturally acts in a pure way.
Yeah, that was a verse, actually.
Yeah.
That was a verse. That was a verse that. Just a verse came to my mind that, you know, it was in one of the jnana chapters. There's many jnana chapters, jnana yoga chapters of Uddhava Gita. And one of the verses says, you use this knowledge as a tool, but then when you get to the actual goal, then you leave it.
19.1.
What's that?
19.1.
19.1, is it? Uh-huh. Yeah, and then once you get to the level of realization, you can leave it. Let it go.
Speaking of things, like Uddhava, he went to gopis, actually they are feeling separation from
right.
Krishna.
Yeah.
And he is advising all the knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
He failed. But here, he also feeling separation from Krishna.
Yes, we brought that.
Amazing.
I know. That's why I brought that point up on the first, on the opening day. Same point. That's a really good point that, Uddhava was sent by Krishna to the gopis and they were feeling separation and he's saying, Krishna's everywhere, he's here, he's there. And now Krishna is leaving and Krishna's telling him, yes, I'm everywhere, I'm here and there. And he will tell, and he's getting the medicine he gave the gopis now. The same. Yes, Prashanta.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that in Gita we hear four kinds of people.
Yes.
Take up devotional service.
Yes.
And the best, the most.
Most is the jnani.
The one who has the highest adhikar.
Right.
That's the jnani.
Yeah, okay,
so
good point.
Through this 11th canto, Krishna is refining.
That's true.
So that we come to this level of being in that category. So we have
yes.
the highest adhikar.
That's nice.
To practice.
Yeah, the jnani is the favorite of Krishna according to Gita. So now he's preparing us to all become jnanis. So we become very dear to him. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of people come. Yeah. That's wonderful. So we will all be bathing in the nectar of Uddhava Gita starting from the next class. We have